Hi, this is Patty in America, and you're listening to The Fringe Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the Fox television show Fringe.
Hi, and welcome to episode 37 of The Fringe Podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Courtney.
I'm Patty.
I'm Jason.
And I'm in a time loop.
We are delighted that you have joined us for this very late edition of The Fringe Podcast. We had a lot of nasty technical issues. Anything that could happen happened today. We won't prolong the podcast anymore talking about that. Suffice it to say that Clint worked about a, 12-hour day today?
It was 13, yeah.
Yeah.
I went in early.
Courtney, we had
no
to jump
longer
your
have
car.
A vehicular.
Yeah. We had to jump it like four or five times just to
get home.
3 miles down the road. And then we get here, cameras aren't working, wires aren't working, and it's just been a mess tonight. So
I blame it on Patty.
It's my magnetism of awesomeness.
She's
more than
the
Jason.
She's the only new piece to the puzzle.
She's like the Swan Station.
I am.
You caused an implosion.
All your jewelry is now attracting to me.
Whose brains are on the
quick nuker
hatch door?
I want to say, Patty, it's great to have you in America.
Oh, thank you very much. It's very nice here in America, except for the thunder and lightning.
Yeah, we are getting a storm tonight.
Which I have to say, you can't complain about. You wanted a tornado.
I did. I asked Courtney if she could arrange a tornado when I came to Oklahoma, and it seems to want to come.
I did my best.
You might just get that. We are an hour and a half late on doing this podcast. Those of you who have stuck around in our chat room, thank you. Thank you so much. Again, apologize for all the technical difficulties and delays tonight. So without any further ado, let's get this party started with a little Fringe binge. And what we want to do is we want to sort of remind you, we do have the contest going right now through the end of this podcast. If we had the contest, Jason, that you started a couple weeks ago, we asked you to send in your pictures, your songs, and your stories inspired by Fringe. And in the story, you had to include Jason as a part of that. We took the best story, the best picture, the best song. We made the finalists that we selected. We put them up on the website earlier in the week, and lots of you have voted. You have till the end of this podcast to cast your vote, and we'll announce the winner at the end of this podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast and on the website after the fact or in iTunes, whatever,
you missed it.
You missed your chance to vote. So. But anyway, thanks to all those who voted. Courtney, you want to talk about the comic?
See? Comic number 5 comes out May 27th, which is 2 weeks from now, and there will be one more after that. We will do a podcast over the comic, so watch your feeds. We will discuss it. So go pick up your comic May 27th. If you haven't had the comics before, if you haven't picked them up, it might be kind of difficult to find them because we have had issues getting back issues. So
yeah,
you might search online, see if they're there. There may be a comics like comics.com or something along those lines. So try to go find them there. But the brand new comic comes out May 27th.
I also want to talk about the new Fringe ARG alternate reality game or viral campaign that they're doing. They just started this right before the finale aired this week. You can find it at fox.com/fringe/thereismore. And if you did the ARG that they did before the show started airing, they did it late last summer, it's going to look very familiar to you. You're going to see the Fringe glyphs and the hand and the butterfly and all that stuff that you will recognize from the show. But what you'll see there are some Braille underneath the image that you'll see there. Those are Braille numbers. And if you click on those, some of them you can click on right now. You can click on the first two glyphs, and then you'll see some Braille up in the top right-hand corner, and that is actually Braille letters that spell out return. So you click on that to go back, so that makes sense. The numbers on the main screen are Fibonacci numbers. The leftmost number is 144, going all the way back to, I believe, the number 1. But they get smaller and as you go to the right. The first one you click on that, you'll see the Walking Liberty silver half dollar that we actually saw in the finale, and Dr. Boone saying, "What does he say? What would you do for someone you love? How much would
How far would you go, or something?
Yeah, how far would you go for someone you love? Yeah, which kind of ties into the finale a little bit. And then now, starting today, is when I recognized that you can click on the second glyph, and there you can read an article about William Bell. So I'm sure as the weeks go on, they'll be revealing or making the rest of these glyphs clickable. So
I'd also like to add that they have updated cortexafan.com.
Can you spell that for us?
Yeah, C-O-R-T-E-X-I-F-A-N.
Okay.
.com. And it's black, and it says, "We own the site now. Go elsewhere for your information. You'll find nothing here." Wow. And there's a frog in the bottom corner.
That's interesting.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
And if that's you guys remember
mob-ish.
from our previous podcast, they actually had lists of initials. They had some code, and I think that we cracked the code.
Yeah.
Which had initials and locations and date of birth.
Yeah.
On there, and so now it's gone.
Yep. And I checked it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when we learned about Nick, right?
Mm-hmm. Nick Lane.
Yeah. And that list was gone then. So I'm not sure what's going on with it.
Interesting.
Yeah. You want to talk about the guild real quick?
Yes, talk about the guild. Since this is our final, well, not our final, but like our official final podcast having to do with the show, if you will miss us and love us and want to hang out with part of us, come to WoW, the land of Azeroth, World of Warcraft, and hang out with me and Jason and Patty.
So they do have the interwebs in Canada. How else do you play World of Warcraft?
Well, what is an interweb?
The internet.
Oh, that's how we call it in Oklahoma. Yes, we have the internet.
J.R. Orsi calls it the interwebs as well.
He does.
And he also does lolcats.
Speaking of J.R. Orsi.
Oh, yeah.
We got some bad news about 45 minutes ago. J.R. Orsi tweeted and apparently said something on Facebook about the fact that he is pursuing personal projects and has decided not to come back to Fringe for the second season, which I'm disappointed in. I thought he did a really good job writing some
Agreed.
Of the episodes.
I agree.
So we've now lost Brad Caleb Kane and J.R. Orsi.
Yep.
Excellent Twitterers.
Both guys we follow on Twitter, so now what are we going to do?
Dump them?
Yeah. No.
Unfollow.
You're cut, J.R. Orsi and Brad Caleb Kane.
And the core unit of J.J. Abrams, Roberto Orsi, and Alex Kurtzman are still intact.
True,
along
but they
with
don't
the
tweet.
Other, you know,
they don't love us.
And they don't really do anything on the show. At least they haven't, really.
They're the creative
Too
types.
Much. Yeah. They're the executive producers. They get last say, right? But
right.
Maybe.
Well, the other guys, Brian Burke is still there, and Jeff Pinkner is
Jeff
still
Pinkner.
There. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're
that'll
still
be good.
A great creative team.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely.
Oh, we love you.
Excited Fringe about team. The people that are left.
We're just sad our tweeters are gone.
Yeah, disappointed that we're not going to have any insider information any longer.
Yep.
So you can come find us at idrinkthekoolaidup.com, which is quite the controversial phrase and website, but that's where you can find all the information that you need to come find us on World of Warcraft. We would love to have you. We hang out every evening there, except for tonight. We're not there tonight. But we hang out there every evening. You can come talk to us, hang out with us, run with us. We'll help you out, so we'd love to have you.
And my comment to that is, I didn't think I was a World of Warcraft person, and now I'm totally sucked into it, so it might not be what you think it is. Come join us.
That's funny, because Courtney phrases that a little bit differently. She doesn't say that you're sucked into it, she just says that you suck.
I do, because my armor is like toilet paper, and I keep dying, and she has to protect me.
She runs around with her two-ply in World of Warcraft, her little bits flying off behind her. No, we will help you, though. If you're a noob and this is all foreign to you, I can send you a 10-day pass. Just let me know. You can come hang out with us and try it out for free.
All right. So let's move right along and get into the episode recap portion of our podcast with our Bunsen burner ratings. And Patty, you being our honored guest tonight, I'd like to let you go first.
Should have got our crown.
We should have.
I do have my Canada hat that I did. I brought all kinds of Canada stuff. For all you Canadians who are listening, I did bring them Tim Hortons coffee, maple cookies, crumpets, and my disco ball. So my rating was 10 oozing faces, and I think Mr. Jones needs some polysporin.
My wife called those mustard scabs.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yummy, isn't it?
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Courtney, what was your rating?
Originally, it was 10. And then I backed it down to 9. 9 Peter's Graves.
Isn't Peter Graves an actor?
That's why I changed it to Peter's Graves.
Ah.
And not Peter Graves.
I originally also gave it a, I think it was a 9.5 or 9.75. It was pretty darn close to a 10. But after watching the Lost season finale, which I believe is the best 2 hours of entertainment ever.
Especially the part where Juliet and Sawyer are like, I love you, I love you.
If you could hear my brains rattle right now, you would know that I'm shaking my head no, because the Lost season finale sucked.
It was the best. It was the best 2 hours of not just television, better than any movie.
No.
Wow. Better than any, most books. I'm telling you. So based on that, we have to have a new TV rating scale. And I'm proposing the EL scale. It's the Enhanced Lindelof Q scale. Compared to the Lost season finale of this season, I have to give it an 8.
Wow.
And I'm going to have to go back and re-rate all the shows from the previous season.
I see.
So if you're going to leave the podcast on iTunes, you have to go and edit over, you know. I gave it a 6.
Do I decrease everything by one number?
I'm thinking it's going to have to be a sliding scale. Maybe at the lower end, it's 2 or 3.
I don't think that's really fair because, you know, it's only in its first season.
I mean,
so I think it needs to be, have some sort of logarithmic... oh my God, I'm nerd alerting there. Never mind. Sorry.
Well,
Clint and I will just talk on our own between ourselves in nerd language.
A bunch of zeros and ones.
10001 binary solo. 10101111.
No, 0011111. Zero.
Oh man.
It
reminds me. What? I haven't watched The Big Bang Theory season finale.
I haven't either. My DVR messed up. Yeah.
It's kind of like one of those. It was good. It was really good. But there's one line that you're just like, first of all, it's horrible acting. And second of all, that has nothing to do with the show.
So compared to the Lost episode.
That's right. The Big Bang Theory was a 6 on the EL scale.
ELC?
Yes, the ELC scale.
Yeah.
We're rambling.
I'm not on the ELC scale. I'm on the regular scale we've used since the beginning. And I originally gave it a 10, but I really felt like I was forcing it a 10 because it was a season finale and I was hyped up for it and I wanted it to be as good as last week. And in a lot of ways it was. It answered some questions, it gave us some new ideas, it broke the mold and all that stuff. But I still felt like I was forcing it into a 10 because I wanted it to be a 10. So with that in mind, I decided to be more honest with my score and give it 9 Dusty Mothers.
Which I think is a terrible swear word.
Mother Duster.
Shut your mouth.
That's how they swear in Oklahoma.
Listen up, Mother Duster.
All right, so with that, we'll get into the actual episode recap. It starts out in New York City. The paramedics are bringing Nina Sharp into the ER, and they reveal that to the other people there that she has this nice twitching robot arm. From there, we go to FBI headquarters. The team is looking over the video footage from the elevator, and they run the audio through voice recognition software to reveal that David Robert Jones shot Nina Sharp and took something from her arm. Olivia thinks that Jones is working for Bell and goes on a tirade to force Broyles to bring in Bell. Broyles interrupts her and tells her to stop cutting him off every time he tries to tell her to stop drilling. She struck oil. Broyles gets a call that Nina is out of surgery. Peter shows up at the lab looking for Walter. Astrid thought he was with Peter. Peter and Astrid begin calling and looking everywhere for Walter, and Olivia shows up. She thinks that maybe Walter ran off because of the assault in the pastry shop. She apologizes to Peter. From there we do see Walter. He's with CBG, and he's visiting a grave in a small cemetery in the woods as CBG looks on. From there we see Broyles visiting Nina in the hospital. He explains that she's lucky because she has Kevlar plates in her rib cage. She tells him that she needs to speak with Dunham right away. Olivia shows up to see Nina, and massive dynamic specialists are working on her arm. Nina tells Olivia that Jones once worked for Bell, but he felt spurned when Bell rejected him, and that Jones is trying to prove his worthiness to Bell and to kill William Bell. Olivia wants to see William Bell, but Nina says that she has only been speaking with him electronically over the past several months, but that if Olivia stops Jones, then she will arrange a meeting between Olivia and Bell. She also explains that Jones stole a very powerful energy cell from her arm, and that he can do almost anything with it. From there, we see Jones and his goons arriving on a busy neighborhood street, and they set up their equipment. He uses Nina's energy cell to power his equipment. As he adjusts the sonic frequency, a portal to another dimension opens, but it's not stable. Before it closes, a truck from from the other side comes through it, but it gets cut in half and wrecks as the portal closes. Jones says to his goons, "These are the wrong coordinates. Try again, please." Walter and CBG are on the shores of a lake. CBG takes Walter to a house that Walter recognizes and shows him a Walking Liberty half-dollar coin and says it's not the one he's thinking of. He says it's from another place and that there's more than one of everything. CBG says that he said too much and he's not supposed to get involved, and that he has taken Walter as far as he can. CBG tells Walter that he must remember something and find it. Back at the Harvard lab, Broyles introduces Nina to Astrid. Nina tells Peter and Astrid that Jones is in possession of something that Walter may know something about. Nina calls for a grid search to locate Walter. Back at the street scene, Charlie and Olivia question witnesses, and they describe a man that sounds a lot like Jones. Nina's team discovers Walter rode a train near East Douglas and Grafton, and Peter realizes that that's near a beach house they once owned. Peter decides to personally go and find Walter and bring him back. Back at the street scene, Charlie explains that none of the numbers on the truck exist, not the VIN number, not any of the numbers on the parts or anything, that the truck was never made. Back at the beach house, Peter arrives and finds a photo of his family. He rubs some dirt off of it, but he only reveals himself and Walter, and not the mother. He finds Walter confused and frantically searching for something. Back at FBI headquarters, Olivia asks Nina how a truck coming from nowhere relates to Jones. Nina tells her that nothing comes from nowhere, and she thinks Olivia knows where it came from, and she thinks that Olivia knows where William Bell is. Olivia tells Nina to stop playing games, and Nina tells her that Bell is not in this world. From there, we go to a soccer field. We see that Jones's team shows up. From there, we see Olivia and Nina trying to explain to Charlie the concept of multiple dimensions. Olivia and Broyles and Charlie's cell phones ring all at the same time. From there, we go back to the beach house. Peter calms Walter down by telling him a story of how much he enjoyed going to the beach house when he was a kid, and the excitement that he had waking up on Saturday mornings to realize that Walter was there and he was making pancakes. Walter remembers that they were whale-shaped pancakes. This causes him to remember what he's looking for, and he gets excited. From there, Olivia and Peter show up at the soccer field. Olivia and Charlie show up at the soccer field, rather, and they start questioning witnesses, and they discover that one of the soccer players got chopped in half when Jones's portal closed.
And from there, we jump to see Olivia walking into the FBI office. She asks some random guy on the phone to go pull all the cases having to do with science or unexplained phenomenon. I did that last time, and I don't know which is right. Thanks for the song. And she begins to sort through all the cases and photos, plotting them on her map like any good ZFT recruit should. She goes to Broyles and tells him they need to call Nina because Olivia thinks she's found a connection. From there, we jump to Walter and Peter. They're desperately searching through the beach house for something. Walter knows, Peter doesn't, and lo and behold, Walter finds it, and it's in a locked box. On top of the locked box is a coin, and it obviously moves Walter to some sort of memory. Seems to upset him. Next, we see Olivia explaining her theory of the connection of the incidents to Nina and Broyles. Broyles asks what it means, and of course Nina has an answer. Better Nina than Astrid. Meanwhile, Peter picks the lock on the box, and Walter pulls out an odd-looking device. Peter wants to know what it is, and Walter launches into his whole deja vu idea in traveling between realities. Walter explains that they thought they could cross over to the other reality. He then says they, about the time they were learning about the alternate reality and crossing over with their massive doses of LSD, that he lost something precious. He says he became convinced that if he could open a portal, he could take back what he had lost. Peter looks at him kind of skeptically and asks, "Just open a hole and walk over?" Walter tells him it's much more difficult than that. You have to find the right place. And while Walter is discussing this, we jump back to Nina, who is having the exact same discussion with Broyles and Olivia. And she takes up where Walter left off. She says that there are weak spots and that they are increasing. They decide Jones is looking for the correct weak spot to break through to the other reality so he can go beat up Bell. It would be dangerous for things from the other reality to cross over, so Walter developed a plug, which is what they were looking for. Broyles, Nina, and Liv try to brainstorm as to where Jones is going, and they come up with Raiden's Lake, thanks to Olivia's genius brain. Cortex sanified. And we jump to Jones and crew arriving at Raiden's Lake. Meanwhile, we'd come back from break, and Peter and Walter are driving to the exact same spot that Jones and his flunkies are hanging out with all their special equipment. Walter says they have to be on time, and then let slip that CBG came to see him. They finally get to the correct spot and stop. Walter tells Peter that Peter collected coins while he was sick so he wouldn't be scared. Walter hands him the coin that he found with the locked box, and then they are drugged from the car by Olivia and the FBI guys. Walter says, "We're trying to plug a hole in the universe. What are you doing?" And Olivia says, "I guess we're here for the same thing." About that time, we see the telltale blue lights and everyone takes off running. Jones and his team are working on the coordinates to get the window to the other reality open, and a gunfight breaks out, which is better than an Olivia foot chase any day. Walter takes off to try and plug the hole, but Peter stops him and tells him he'll do it. Liv sneaks up behind Jones, tries to get him to stop. Jones isn't listening and takes off, walking rather awkwardly toward the window. She shoots him twice, but it has no effect on him. He turns around, says some really creepy stuff, showing off his mustard scab face and his weird white eye, and Liv takes off after him. Scrolled up too far. And while she's taking off after Jones, Peter takes off after her, and just as Jones gets to the portal, Peter turns the plug and cuts Jones in half. Back from break, Liv is putting up all the files that were drug out while they were trying to find Jones. Broyles comes in and cracks a joke, which is a little weird for him, but he cracks it nonetheless. They stare at each other, and then Broyles drops the bomb that they can no longer investigate William Bell. We jump to Astrid as she walks into the lab carrying a bag of groceries. She's quite excited because she found another box of Berry Boom for Walter. She announces it, slows to a stop when she realizes that he isn't there, and then Peter walks in to see what she's looking at. There is an envelope sitting with Peter's name on the counter, and Walter is letting them know that he stepped out for a bit. Peter cracks a joke that their little boy is growing up, and we change scenes to see Walter holding the coin in a graveyard. He sets the coin on a tombstone, then when the camera pans around, it's revealed to be Peter's grave. Next scene, we see Liv sitting on the bed, staring at her gun and badge. She's got a bag packed next to her. She gets up and walks across the room toward her gun and badge when her cell phone rings. It's Nina, and Nina is asking her to meet in Manhattan. Liv drives to Manhattan, almost gets in a wreck, and then thinks that she's stood up by Nina because she has sat in this restaurant all day long with no sign of Nina. So she decides, well, I'm going to call her. So she calls her, finds out Nina is out of the country, and in a huff, Liv gets up, walks to the elevator, gets in, and the elevator starts its descent. As a man gets off the elevator, she goes down to the 15th or 14th floor, and we see the blue lights. 15th.
That's what I think.
Okay.
I was interrupting. I think it's the 13th because there is no 13th floor on most places.
Except for in the Mary Kay building.
What?
There's your little tidbit for today.
I just say
this
15.
Has been random facts with Courtney.
There's the hiccup for the podcast.
Yes.
I just thought 15. It looked like it stopped on 15. 15 is a Fibonacci number. So that's all I'm saying.
Oh.
It fits. We'll go with 15.
Yes.
We see the blue lights, and it seems like Olivia noticed those too. And we jump to reality. Doors open up on an extremely white, sterile-looking hallway. A tall assistant is walking toward Olivia. It's obvious that this assistant is waiting on her because she says, "Right this way, Miss Dunham." Mm-hmm. Liv is escorted to a room. She hangs out in there for a second, and then a man walks in behind her. He's all in shadow and mysterious. He tells her that he's been waiting a long time for this. She asks where she is, and he says, "The answer's complicated." And then she asks, "Who is he?" And he says he's William Bell. And then he steps into the light. And we see Spock. The camera pans out as Liv walks to the window, and we see she is in the World Trade Center in the alternate reality.
They seem very gaseous here in Oklahoma.
And that brings
What'd you call me, Patty?
That brings us to our theories and topics section. And the first thing to talk about, just to briefly mention, was the glyphs this week spelled out the word
grave.
But you were just talking about the World Trade Center. What's your general opinion on that? Is that, was it okay for them to show that? Was it across the line, insensitive, okay? What do you think?
I think that it was the most poignant picture that they could pick to show that she was definitely in an alternate reality and something different that from our reality.
I think they went totally with the shock factor. We got the concentration camp Nazis in the comic book and World Trade Center in the show.
New York City.
Now, Patty, you're a Canadian. I don't know.
Well, I think
that tragedy affected you guys or how you view it up there.
No, there was a lot of America love going on in Canada. In fact, we took all your planes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, all kinds of Americans were landing in our wonderful country because your country shut down. So we took y'all. We took y'all even though you were
Did
flying
you just
into
say
buildings.
Y'all?
I've been here for 24 hours almost, and I said y'all.
Yikes.
Yes. So I would say, there was a lot of American love. I don't know that it hits us nearly as much as it hit you guys, though. It affects our security, and I had to take my shoes off to come visit you today. So, yes, it affects us all.
Wow. And you had to put your deodorant in a little baggie.
Yes. No
toothpaste.
Liquids.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think it was the shock factor, and, you know, they're trying to hit your emotions, and it really did.
Yeah, it did. When I saw it, I was like, I gasped out loud.
I don't think it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
And Jeff Pinkner actually made a video on fox.com/fringe.
That's right.
To explain it. So, why they chose it. So, if you're confused, go check it out. Is it going to rub some salt in some wounds? I think probably. So. But I don't think it was in poor taste. I don't think they treated it poorly.
Right.
If they had treated it poorly, it would have been a different story.
I agree.
But I think it's all right.
And basically, in the video, he says that what they were trying to portray is this is a different reality. And in that reality, that tragedy didn't happen.
And they might be better off than we are.
That's right. That's right. There was a couple other reveals.
Lynn Bias was alive.
Right. He was the number two draft pick in the 1986 draft, in case you don't know, picked by the Boston Celtics, and tragically died of a drug overdose within 48 hours of when he was drafted. He was expected to be this great player whose life was cut short in such a tragic way.
If I remember right, the paper said that he was MVP.
I think that's right. And former President
Kennedy
was going to be speaking in front of the UN. So that was another tragedy that did not happen in this alternate universe.
And the Obamas were moving into a new White House?
Yeah, so was that a new White House because Flight 93 didn't crash in Pennsylvania? Instead, it crashed into the White House? Or were they doing something? Were they overhauling the White House, Courtney?
My original thought was it didn't crash into the Trade Center. Or the 93 was not headed for the Trade Center. But that the Trade Center was not attacked. The White House was attacked, and that plane actually did get where it was going, so they had to rebuild. That was my thought. I've seen several people ask, would it take 8 years to rebuild the White House? I think it might. I mean, if they're trying to preserve some of the old history that's in it and trying to reconstruct it, I think it's plausible.
Yeah.
So
it's
a government.
Like the Batcave from the Batman movie.
And you look at the trade centers, they're planning on rebuilding those. They haven't even really started construction on those.
Right.
So
and
eight
that's
years
been,
is not unfeasible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my first thought. It could be they just decided to build a new White House.
So here's what I'm thinking. John F. Kennedy lives. World peace.
Okay.
Kumbaya.
We don't have to suffer through the bushes.
Okay.
Nobody is mad at us, and nobody bombs the World Trade Center.
Okay.
We've
all
got,
because Kennedy lived?
Yeah. We've got excess money. We don't know what to do with it all. All the oil. The Obamas decided it's a 200-year-old house. It's time to renovate. Everyone else got a 50% tax break already. We've solved world hunger in Africa. What are we going to do with the money? I think it's time for the president to get a new house.
I see.
Yep.
That is definitely an alternate reality.
Because America solves everyone's problems.
That's right. That's our job. Team America, World Police.
America for the win.
Also, I think it would take 8 years to make a White House because it's a bureaucracy and, you know, they got a lot of red tape there. So
there's no doubt about that.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Ultra CBGs. Are they like everyone else or are they separate from both realities? Is there like one? Well, first off, is there more than one? And then second, are they completely different or is there an Ultra CBG? Alter September, Alter November.
Okay, so like we know that there's Alter Walter, Alter Peter, Alter William
right.
Bell. Are there Alter CBGs or are they...
Or are they just one,
just
that,
one
can,
that can go everywhere?
That they learned how to live independently of both.
I see.
Realities. And so they go back and forth to one or the other. Because I think that even... I think that the CBG that we know is not... of the alter reality like we originally thought. This is my idea. I think they're separate. I don't know what happened to them to make them separate, but I think they're separate, and they're observing, but we also see that CBG is directing our reality, Walter, because he took him to the beach house, which makes me think that they're separate from the realities, because we know that they travel back and forth. We've seen they're more high-tech stuff than what we have, so they're not from our reality.
Right.
That's my thought. It's not hatched out at all.
So you're
just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Are you asking what if we think there's one set of observers, or if there's the observers in multiple dimensions?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I'm going to go with they're from the other dimension / future, and they're coming back to fix things, whatever fix means.
Jason, what do you think?
I think they're dimension police.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't think they belong to any dimension, but I think they just watch over them, make sure that they don't do what Walter did.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
Like they're overseers?
Yeah, well, they observe like the special events. They observe the weak points, and they see what the worlds are doing.
Like time cops? Like Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yes.
Awesome.
But much better people.
Yeah. They might be. I don't know if I want to call them time cops, but I do think there's just one set of them, and they are multidimensional, and that you know, obviously they can go in and out. I think we got the blue lights confirmed, right? When Olivia was in the elevator, we saw the blue lights.
Yes,
is that confirmation for you guys that when we've seen the blue lights in the show so far that there's been some dimension hopping going on?
Yes, I think so.
For me that was
okay. Good. Wow. So that's I think they're beyond dimensions, and there's only one set of them.
I was trying to put captions on because it started to look really ugly right around here, but I can't get.
Yeah, we're all distracted by the weather reports of the storm.
Yeah, we're under a tornado watch right now, which is typical for Oklahoma this time of year.
Yeah, I was gonna
say
that.
I saw black and purple.
Yeah,
which is typically not good colors to see
imminent
on their radar, and they were both fairly close to where we were. So I was just trying to get some captions up.
Yeah.
Okay, how about Peter? I was not ready to say, catching myself.
this is going to be a fun one.
I wasn't ready to say that Peter was a clone. I'm almost ready to say that now. I am not convinced that we see Alter Peter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that. Because unless, I'm getting ready to make myself wrong here.
Let's watch her walk herself right around in a circle, shall we?
I'm glad we got a video for this.
Yeah. Sometimes I get dizzy, so watch out. So CBG hands him the coin and tells him that there's more than one of everything. Walter already knows this. So why does CBG feel the need to tell him that?
Does he, though?
Well, and then that's where I'm wondering. If Walter doesn't know that, we can't say that Peter is Alter Peter. Peter would have to be a clone.
Of what? Of Peter?
Of Peter. Of the Peter that's in the grave. Unless...
I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Unless...
I'm cocking my gun, though. I just want you to know.
I know. And that's okay. And that's why I put this out there for discussion. Unless CBG is reminding him that there is Alter Walter. And Alter Walter could be really, really ticked that Alter Peter was stolen by our reality, Walter. And so if that's the case, then CBG was just reminding him that Alter Walter is out there and could be the reason for all of the events.
I like the Alter Walter theory.
Yeah, I'm on the Alter Walter theory, too.
Because we saw him at St. Clair's. At least we think we did.
Right. Here's my theory on Alter Walter.
I just love... Can we say that word some more? I really love it.
Can we loop Alter Walter?
Alter Walter, Alter Walter, Alter Walter.
Alter Walter, Alter Walter. That's like... That reminds me of the rhythm between... Badger.
Alter Walter, Alter Walter, Alter Water. Peter's a clone.
Snake.
Peanut butter jelly.
Astrid.
If the guys that don't know what we're talking about, just go to Google or YouTube and just type in badger and you'll find it.
Mushroom.
You only have to type in badger and my first suggestion is badger
yeah.
on Google.
Yeah, that's right.
That's funny.
Now they're all leaving the chat room to go do that.
Which is how the band Interpol got their style.
Thank you for putting that song in my head for the rest of the night. Is that all it is? Is badger on the
show? No, not yet.
We gotta get to the good part here. Ready?
And that's it. It's an infinite loop. Yeah.
So is this thing you Rickroll people with?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You could.
Or Kenya. Kenya is another good one. I don't know if you guys have seen Kenya.
I haven't seen Kenya.
Kitty cat. I love kitty cat. Cat?
Cat? I'm a kitty cat. And a meow, 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 and a meow, meow, meow.
Or anyway. 55 is my personal favorite.
Let's get back to Fringe here.
I'm not sure if we're in Oklahoma anymore, Toto.
I couldn't resist. Okay, so.
We're in an alternate dorkality.
No doubt. Okay, so, I believe that Peter, that we have known and loved this whole time, is Alter Peter.
That we
Peter.
Still know and love.
Right, right. Is Alter Peter, not Clone Peter. Because real Peter died when he was 7. So for Walter to have cloned, he would have had to start and grown Peter. He could have done the accelerated clone thing that we saw in episode 2. So there is room for this theory to not be completely disproving yours. The Peter that we know is about the right age to have been born in 1978. So that's all I'm saying. He wouldn't have had time to die at age 7 and then grow a new one and be at the maturity level that he's at right now. So I believe that the Peter that we know is Alter Peter from the other dimension, and Walter did go over there and he did take something from him, from the other Alter Walter. And that's why he's seeing Alter Walter. I don't know that that's actually Alter Walter that he saw in the equation when he's back in the St. Clair's, but that he at least is seeing them. He's haunted by the thoughts of this other Walter who's now going through what he avoided, and it's that guilt that drove him to insanity, and that's what's causing him to see Alter Walter.
Well, that was a very detailed and complex theory.
Thank you.
Complete crap, but it was pretty
oh, come on. I had the same theory. I think... Okay, you can say something, Courtney? Because you started it, so...
No, I'm done.
You're done.
Mm-hmm. My job is just to start discussion. Because all my theories are half-baked.
Oh, okay, so then we finish them off.
You're
then?
Like you yeah. fart
We say, oh.
What is it Jason said? An idea grenade?
An idea grenade, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do. Here's my idea grenade.
So I'm agreeing with the Alter Peter concept. They're now they have the giggles. I think about another half an hour, they'll be peeing themselves. I think it's Alter Peter, but I'm wondering, did original Peter die in the car crash, or was he sick?
Yeah, so you're wondering, when did he actually die?
Yeah, when did he actually die? Or was he sick after he came through because he had the, you know, Mr. Jones coming through the wall kind of issue? What was that, the sickness, and he almost died from?
Yeah.
And why is his wife so angry? Is his wife angry because they stole Peter? Or is his wife, you know, because, you know, Dust Mom, what do we call her in Sweat? She's not too happy.
Mother Duster.
Mother Duster
was really not very happy. So considering all those different options, I could see why she's not really happy.
Well,
I think it's Alter Walter. I think he died in the car crash. And they pulled him in through another dimension, and he wasn't used to some virus that was in this dimension. He got sick.
Walter or Peter?
Peter. Did I say... I said Walter, didn't I? Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue.
It's, badger.
It's Peter, Petiter, Beater. It's... I don't know.
Pumpkin Eater.
Yeah, it's Peter Piper picked up... No, it's third Peter.
And neither Peter.
It's Peter Cubed.
And neither Peter. Oh, gosh.
There you go. I think it's a third Peter. And I think...
And neither Peter.
I think the Walter that we know here is actually a second Walter. I think that's why he doesn't have his memories.
I just think that's... This thing is complex enough as it is. You just added a third layer that we don't have justification for.
Have you watched 5 minutes of Heroes?
No. No, I haven't. But I think that this explains why we've had so many instances this season that Peter doesn't remember something, like the toys or something else, where Peter doesn't remember them, but Walter says they're his. Well, they were the original Peters. Mm-hmm. But we also have instances where Peter does remember, like the waffles or the whale pancakes from this week, and he did remember getting into the lake.
Yes.
So I think the lake, back to your question, Patty, the lake happened with Alter Peter. And maybe that's why CBG saved him, because if we're sticking with two dimensions here, which I hope we do, I just...
Yeah, I hope so, too.
You can't, though. Plan,
I know you can't, in theory. If there's one universe, there's two dimensions, rather, there's infinite others, and we talked about this last week. But for the sake of sanity, we got to stick with two for right now. I do, anyway.
Okay.
And that...
Let's all keep Daryl happy. So I thought we all wanted to keep Patty happy.
Yeah. If there's only two realities...
That's when you're not here.
And one... Original Peter is dead. Altered Peter is all that's left. CBG stepped in, perhaps. I don't know that I like this theory a whole lot, but CBG stepped in to save Peter because they needed him down the line.
Jason, what say you? A wise one.
I agree with you, Courtney.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think we could get into... Here's what I think is going to happen. I think somebody really liked the show Sliders and wanted to bring it back, but give it a little bit of J.J. Abrams flair, and so we're going to start seeing all these alternate realities as the cases, as the French sciences. But I could be completely wrong.
And FYI, podcast listeners, the thunder is now arriving at my house.
No.
And here comes the rain as well.
Here comes the rain.
Okay.
We need
another
song.
Well, there you go. There's my idea grenade.
Okay.
Okay, this next thing that I wrote down came from somebody in the chat, somebody in an email, somebody on Twitter. I'm not sure who it was. I don't remember. But you're going to know who you are, so I'm giving kudos to you. We see New York, and we see Boston. Those are our main two cities. We see a lot of incidents there. So somebody tossed out New York incidents equal massive dynamic incidents. Boston equals ZFT incidents. I kind of like that idea, because massive dynamic is in New York. And we don't really know where ZFT is, but they seem to be hanging out in Boston with the FBI. So, I like it. I don't know what its bearing is, but I think that we should remember it for further reference.
Yeah, I don't know that it's massive dynamic and ZFT. It might be massive dynamic and the other sect, like Clint, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and that other sect might be Intrepus, might be the cover for that sect. And Intrepus is... Boston, and massive dynamic is New York.
Yeah. Can we just get something out in the open? Does everybody think massive dynamic is still a bad company?
I'm switching over to the good company.
I am too.
I'm undecided.
I'm on that uncomfortable fence again, like I was with Charlie. Jason?
I'm with you.
With
the uncomfortable
who?
Fence?
I'm just
Jason and me.
Period.
We're hanging out.
Jason has a fence, wedgie.
Hemorrhoids.
I need to take a pill now.
So maybe one of the cities was Jones showing off, quote unquote, whatever he said showing off was.
Yeah, yeah.
Around his little soft spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the lake.
Right.
Until he found the lake.
Right.
This is, again, totally not on the outline, but William Bell, is he hiding or working?
Stuck.
Do we want to open up the William Bell dialogue at this point? Is it later in the outline?
My big what-if theory kind of has to do with William Bell, but it doesn't really have anything to do with what Clint is talking about, so.
Okay.
Go for it.
Clinton, did you have more to add?
I was just curious what you guys thought. Is he hiding? Is he working? Is he trying to do research? Is he trying to figure out ways to pull the best of all the dimensions back into the current world he's in?
I think he's working, and I think he's trying to either fix something or figure something out.
I think he's stuck. I agree that he's trying to work something out, and I think he's dying or sick. That's why we saw the oxygen cylinder. And I think he's in a hurry. I'm not sure if it... who said he's in a hurry? Who just got toasted last week? Harris. Because he said he's in a hurry, so I don't know if that was Jones is in a hurry or if Bill is in a hurry. But I think he's in a hurry because he's dying. So he wants to fix whatever is happening.
Okay.
I also think that, sort of on the same theory, that Nina can't go to the other world. She can only talk to him electronically. And she had that thing hidden in her arm that would be able to open up the universes or whatever. So I think she was stuck on this side and not allowed to go to the other side. So that she had some sort of secret way or safe way that he could come back if he ever needed to. So she had to stay on this side. Besides, he's probably got an alter Nina doing his stuff on that side too, now that I think about it. And I think she's radioactive because it had a little radioactive symbol on that energy thing. And that's why her teeth are so bad.
I see. I think there must have been a Bell in that alternate dimension at one time. What I don't know is if the Bell we saw was Bell from this dimension or that dimension. But I think that there is now only one William Bell. There are not multiple Bellies. And so whichever Bell, either Bell has died from natural causes, experimentation, or has been killed.
Head in a jar.
Oh, I like that.
Possibly. And that Leonard Nimoy that we saw this week is portraying Bell in multiple dimensions. He had an office there.
Yeah.
So he is William Bell in that dimension. He's William Bell in this dimension. And he is working it for whatever reason in both dimensions to be the one William Bell.
Maybe he got stuck in Nazi land and died in the war.
Could be.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see... the movie The One, Jet Li?
Negative.
Clint watches everything.
I do watch a lot of movies. The One is a movie with Jet Li where he goes through parallel universes and kills his alternate self, and he gains all their strength and all their powers and abilities. Kind of an interesting thing. And so his goal is to be the one that's left, and he thinks he can become some sort of super person.
Like Highlander,
sort of.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe Jones killed the other Bell, and now he wants to kill this one.
Could be.
That could be. We do see that he has a grudge because he was let go and he thought he was special.
Yeah. So, is there a Jones in the other dimension? We saw Jones cut in half in this dimension.
There's half of a Jones in the other dimension.
He's everywhere.
Is there another really legitimate, fully bodied Bell in the, or Jones in the other dimension that we still might see?
I don't think so.
I think because... they said that he was one of the first people in the company, so I thought maybe on the plane today, when I wasn't falling asleep, was that maybe he is actually from Nazi Germany time, because he came, he was one of the first people, and you know, it was his mentor and all those other things, and he is German, and I think he probably has some poor ethics, so maybe he came from the future and altered Mr. Jones is dead by now.
Very interesting.
That is interesting.
You know, if you look at the parallel theory or parallel universe theory, there's an infinite amount of them, right?
Right.
So most parallel universes aren't going to have a Daryl, and they're not going to have a Clint, and they're not going to have a Patty and a Courtney. Or,
sounds like a horrible universe.
Well, I'm just saying, it wouldn't be worth living in. Suicide rate would be quite high. But a place where William Bell exists in one of the parallel universes, or Peter for that matter, may not have a Jones. This is confusing even me.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Okay.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, I know this is making all of our heads hurt, but that could be why the observers are there, to make sure that the events happen so that in the future, you know, if you look back in the 50s, the observers might have been there to make sure that Belly's dad and mom met so that they would procreate and have William Bell.
Like Jacob.
Because he's going to do something.
And made sure all those puffy skirts were worn.
What do you think of that, Daryl? How do you like that action?
It's plausible.
Jason, you with me? Your brain on?
Yeah.
Okay. Bullets through Jones. You and I discussed this, and I don't remember why we discussed this. Do you remember why?
We were just picking up scenes, weren't we?
I think what we were talking about was that his molecules were not together, and solid. And that's why they were passing through.
That's what I thought. Like the whole safe thing where the people's arms are, when their right. arms are going through.
Right.
And also why he wasn't afraid of that big truck coming right at him and he didn't flinch.
Because it would have passed on by. Okay. That is all.
Okay.
Portal locations. Do you think the portal locations are our pattern leading to Raiden's Lake?
So is the pattern on the map the pattern?
Yep.
Are you asking, is the little star-looking things...
The little star-looking things, when they plotted out all the incidents that were unexplained
yes.
from the science and all that,
right.
they all went to that little hub, they all went to that little hub, they all went to that little hub, but then all of the hubs went to Raiden's Lake. Is that the pattern we've been looking for this whole season? Are we going to have a new catchphrase next season? We found the pattern, now it's pick your reality.
I think you're right. I think that was the pattern.
I agree.
I think they didn't know that it was a pattern, but they seemed, you know, there was a pattern. They didn't know there was the pattern. They didn't know what the pattern was, and now they know it's a starburst.
Okay, so you're saying we might still be looking for pattern events, and they might be in starburst. And if we find yeah. starburst...
If it's within the starburst, they might find more patterned events, and they'll be within the rays of the starburst.
You know what would be interesting? If we continued the arc of the patterns, would we make a spiral?
Or a rainbow.
At the end of the rainbow would be big
Seattle
tubs of bacon.
Yes.
Fatback.
It would be a gigantic bowl of
turducken.
Of berry. What's the cereal? I always forget.
Berry
it.
Boost.
Berry boost.
Berry boom. No.
Berry boom.
Boom.
Berry boom.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
By the way, the chat was sort of half and half on the yes, I think, and no, I don't think.
I'm glad you're moderating chat for
I just realized I wasn't watching
Thank
it.
You.
Sorry, I was ignoring you guys.
I did want to mention one thing about that. I'd never thought about it, but Patty, you said that...
Whee!
Wow. Patty, you had said that you thought William Bell was stuck. Do we think that Bell was stress testing people in that dimension and trying to activate somebody to bring him back?
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, say again?
I was wondering if Bell was activating people that had Cortexafam. Because he was stuck and needed to get back, but couldn't get back. So he tried activating several people, and the only one that really took with, the whole dimension hopping thing took with, was Olivia. And so that's why Nina set up the, quote, meeting with...
For her to bring him back?
Yeah.
Because he's been waiting a long time for this.
He has indeed been waiting a long time. That's an interesting
theory. That's interesting.
Okay. So Jason and I came up with this big what-if theory. It could be a bunch of poo, but this is the big what-if theory.
Okay.
Again.
It's not if I thought it.
Idea grenade,
it's
because
be
you're awesome.
Awesome.
It is awesome. That's correct.
And there is no charge for awesomeness.
By the way, everybody, Jason does have a face. I've seen it.
Yeah, I was beginning to wonder. I've done the podcast for almost 9 months now. I've never seen Jason. I don't think he exists.
Patty has seen him.
He was awesome.
I'm like the boss from Charlie's Angels.
You mean Charlie?
Here's my big what if theory. What if the manifesto was typed in the alternate reality by Alter Walter after our reality Walter stole Alter Peter? Our reality Bell stole the manifesto to thwart Alter Walter and his diabolical scheme. Maybe I should write a comic book instead. He wanted to know what was going to happen with Alter Walter. That's why our reality Bell stole the manifesto. So they retyped the manifesto, leaving out the chapter on ethics to speed up the activation and testing of the soldiers for the army to bring the war to Alter Walter rather than try to play catch-up with what Alter Walter was already doing. Our reality Walter is mentally unstable because Alter Walter haunts him for stealing his son. Alter Walter is super smart and coherent, so the alternate reality has a jump on our reality.
I like half of
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah, you thought my theories were complex.
By the way, she had to read that because it was so complex.
I just want to make sure I got it all right. And mind you, that was from mine and Jason's brains collaboratively.
Was he on drugs at the time?
No, he was at work.
Oh.
So that's my big what-if theory. Anybody going to shoot it down?
Well... I'll support part of it.
If I understood it, I would take an attempt.
Support my part.
It's exactly. Way over my head.
You've stooped to a new low. You've stooped to the point where you're creating...
Stooped to a new low?
Yeah, you've stooped to the point where you're creating theories that are so convoluted you have to read them, and the rest of us don't get the... Well, I guess we could switch. I don't have it switched over right now, but we can't keep up with it, and so we go, ugh.
Yes, this is what happens after Random Thoughts from Canada, because you play it last, and usually Clint's like, yeah, that was good. Can we go? So this, you've done it. You have to have it really complex. Now, okay, so no. I was going to support you by saying one of the things that Walter said when he pulled out the hole filler thing he was looking for.
The plug
was that he wanted to be able to stop it because bad things might come through.
Yeah.
And so that's what I thought. Maybe Alter Walter's coming back for
like
Peter.
Like ticked off Alter Walter.
Yeah. Or Dusty Mom or whatever. So
Mother
that could
Duster.
Be.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean to poo-poo your theory, Courtney. It is very complicated, but I don't have anything to shoot it down with.
All right. So where is the show going? Looking to the future.
Seattle. Or, Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Not literally.
Yeah.
Oh.
Figuratively speaking.
For me, this... And JJ said that it would. He had an interview the week coming into the finale where he said that the finale would be a game changer, a paradigm shift. It definitely is that. I think, for me, I've really enjoyed Fringe this year. It's been a great show. We didn't know what to expect when we started the podcast. We just thought, it's Bad Robot, it's JJ, we'll probably like it. And I've enjoyed the show for most of the year. But it hasn't been... on the level of Lost for me. It's been a good show, an entertaining show, but Lost is just so deep and
totally
mythological
you.
And all that. After I saw the finale, comparing the finale along with last week, for me, Fringe jumped to that next level. They broke themselves out of the need to do a formula each week.
Serial, yep.
And it just got so much deeper, and I just, for me... Fringe, I'm not saying it's there, but it definitely is on the cusp and has the possibility of being as great as Lost is if they can pull it off. I know it's a different set of writers and stuff like that. Damon and Carlton are just so talented. So I'm not ready to put it on the level of Lost yet, but I think they've got that chance to be. And so for me, because because of the dimensional, the multiple dimensions, and this, the war, the parties, and the William Bell, and all that stuff that we've got, the whole Peter thing, and all that we learned about the Observer, we did learn more about, he's already said too much. He's not supposed to interfere, and all that stuff. I just think that they've laid the groundwork for something that has the potential to be fantastic.
I completely, 100% agree. Going into the last two, probably the last final two episodes. Fringe was an okay show. It was pretty good and pretty entertaining. I think they really kicked it up a notch. And the last two episodes were a huge springboard because they really got me and a lot of other people. I heard a lot of people at work and several other places say that Fringe got really good at the end and that they're going to start watching it regularly next season.
Yeah.
So I agree.
I agree, too, and if you think of Lost, and I know some of the folks hate it when we talk about that, but we are comparing them now, and at first, Lost was just a bunch of people on an island, and if you just look back at the first season, it was good, and it was entertaining, and then the snake came out of the mailbox. So I think, now the snake's gone into another reality.
That was a big one.
That was a big one, yeah. So I think, it has huge potential now. I didn't see as
Holy
much
cow.
Potential.
Sorry, Patty.
That's all right.
All right, I think it's over.
They can all see the lightning in the background.
Yeah.
So I suspect there's going to be a lot of, traveling back and forth and who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. And I wonder if it's going to be a lot of, now which Walter is this? And which Belle is this? And you don't know. Maybe they'll do a lot of that.
Wow.
I hope not. That's kind of what they try to do with Heroes. And I know we probably shouldn't compare other shows, but...
Yeah, is it, which Peter is it? And does he have a scar on his face?
Yeah, I totally lost interest this season for Heroes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But... the alternate dimension thing is similar to time travel, right? They're both abstract theories. And I thought Lost was able to take something that has been completely horribly wrong in lots of sci-fi movies and shows. And by the end of the season, they had a nice, tight finish. It made sense. Everything worked internally. And I think that Fringe has the potential to be able to do that. Kind of like you said, I don't know that they're going to be able to keep it to two realities, Daryl.
Well, it may be that there are multiple realities, but they'll only talk about two of them.
Okay.
because I think it would just confuse too many people. Because, again, back to Lost, people were so confused with the time stuff going on there that they had to do a lot of exposition to explain it to people. And I think that if they do too much of that, people will leave because it'll just be too confusing for them. Because they're not all as smart as all our little fringe listers out there who can theorize like we do. Someone just said they saw the bald guy out the back window.
Man. Yeah, that was a big one.
We're being observed.
It's pretty much right overhead now.
Yeah.
So all the lightning's really close, so the thunder's going to be really loud.
And they're worried about us wearing headphones, and they've also said goodbye to us and how they've loved us. And
you guys rocked. We'll miss you.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
So where do I think the show is going? Well, actually, Jason, are you awake?
Yes, I'm here.
Lightning okay, struck? What are your thoughts? Do you have anything where you think the show might be going, or...?
I'm very positive they're going to stick to two realities. I don't think they want to muddy up the waters too much. It'd be way too confusing. They're going to take some notes from Lost. It's very hard to compare this show to Lost, as it just was, just ended, what, its 104th, 105th episode compared to, what, our 18th?
Right.
Right.
So it's very hard to compare shows. That's been super established, and this one's just a fledgling.
Right.
But one thing I'm looking forward to for next season is I'm looking forward to, like, if Peter should find out who he really is, how will he react and what's going to happen?
Do you think he'll figure it out on his own?
No, I think he'll be told. Well, he's smart enough.
I think that it'd be more drama if he figures it out on his own.
Of course, if he keeps going to the grave, if he would go to the graveyard that Walter keeps visiting, he might actually read the tombstone one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
If they do go with two realities, what I would love to see is kind of a season-wide build-up to the split event. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a really cool idea, where they follow... I don't know if time travel is necessary, but maybe the final episode, they follow the Observer back to the time where the two parallel universes split, and the events that caused all those things, maybe they can kind of do a flashback thing, maybe like Lost. I don't know.
What about a meeting of the Observers talking about their strategy and their interaction between the multiple dimensions?
That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
That would be really awesome.
Yeah, he did. When he was on the beach, the Observer said, "Oh, I've said too much," which made me think, "Oh, have you done something wrong before? And are you, you know, how does he know he's not supposed to say too much and do so much? Like, is he reporting to somebody, or who, you know, who tells the Observer what to do?"
Jacob.
All right. Are we ready?
Clint, you have to do it.
All right, everybody. It's time for everybody's favorite segment on this show about Twitter. Twinge. If you guys are interested, the way that we do this is follow myself on Twitter, QuickDraw, and then usually after the episode, usually immediately after, I was a little late this week, I'll put a hash twinge on there, and you guys can respond by just either doing hash twinge or replying directly to me. So that's what we're doing. It's going to be a while probably before we do our next twinge theory. We got a couple of theories from Alex. He said the Twin Towers will be used as an icon to help us differentiate between the two realities. And he had another theory that said when Peter died, Walter got September, or the Observer, creepy bald guy, to bring him a replacement Peter from an alternate reality. Well, that's something I hadn't thought about, if the Observer actually... I mean, that may be going back to what you said, Patty. The two twinge polls were how did it was supposed to be Walter Bishop. I think I said William Bell. I get
you
my did. WBs mixed
you
up.
Did. I did. And I tweeted
all
you
all the
that.
Time. I know. I fixed it later.
I see. I didn't see that.
Yeah. And is Nina Sharp woman or machine? The Nina one is just like last week. We got everybody saying she's all woman. 100% woman. No, nobody said anything about her being a machine. I was kind of thinking she was a hybrid, like a Terminator, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
Halifax Nick, about Walter, said, Walter's always hiding his research. His memories are no exception. Hidden even from himself. Patty, what did you say, Patty?
I don't remember. I think Nina's all woman because she bled.
Or was it blood?
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe it was coolant.
It was transmission fluid.
Oh, so true. Just like the Terminator guy pees on someone. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, Fringe is a disgusting show, and they show, you know, on the surveillance tape when they're going at, you know, of Nina being shot.
Yeah.
They show the guy who's sitting at the little table, and they shoot him, and they have this funny little ping noise, and there's no blood with him, and they even drag him across the floor, and there's no blood.
Right.
And they shoot Nina, and you don't see any blood, and then you see blood in the end, and I thought, that's interesting that they're not showing all that gore on a gory show. But the fact that she had blood on her Kevlar teacups means that she's all woman to me. That's not going to translate as well onto the...
No.
Watermelon.
Watermelon. I was motioning with my very arthritic hands.
I think they probably got it. Let's see. Norton 287 said electroshock therapy could explain the loss. He said he would propose the culmination of the incident leading to Walter's remanding to St. Clair's and whatever treatment occurred there. So he thinks the memory loss came as a result of him being at St. Clair's. David Wu postulates that someone from an alternate world framed Walter for the 91 lab incidents and wiped his ministry for punishment for swiping alternate Peter. That's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
Abel Cortese says Walter lost his memory from the massive amounts of LSD he and Belly took. Hey, maybe that's why they call it massive dynamic. And Alex finally summarizes all of his stuff. I'm getting strange looks from Daryl. Walter's memory was tampered with before being put into St. Clair, so he could not use his knowledge of the Fringe sciences. Very interesting. Do you guys have theories?
Not anymore.
Okay. That's it for...
Twinge. So if I remember correctly, that brings us to...
You guys are nerds.
Okay. We'll start with Daryl and his email.
All right. This comes in from... Is this all one email?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this comes from a very intelligent woman because she lives right here in Oklahoma City.
Indeed she does.
Yeah, this is JC from Oklahoma City. She says, hey guys, I really wish I could have gotten in on the discussion last week because I was able to draw some major parallels between this week's and last week's episode. I did actually have a whole thing typed out to send you all last week, but something happened and I lost it. I've been listening to your show since probably episode 3, and I absolutely love the podcast and love Fringe. However, I haven't really loved the last 2 episodes. I'm almost afraid to say it because everyone was gushing so much last week, and I felt it barely squeaked out a, quote, 6 unsatisfying deaths, unquote, rating. So it's difficult for me to admit that I didn't like this week. I didn't feel like this week fared much better, but let me explain why before I give you my rating. Some of the plot developments we've arrived at don't seem to follow logical progression. So now Massive Dynamic isn't really, quote, the big bad corporation, end quote, we've been led to believe. Yes, it's a tired meme. Is that a typo? Is that the right word?
No, that's the right word, but yep. I don't know how to say it.
Meme, that's right.
Meme, okay. I'm not familiar with that word. Yes, it's a tired meme. I wasn't thrilled about it, nonetheless, but this was what they had been building on from day one and had led us to believe, and now suddenly they're good guys, or at least not so bad guys, and only because Jones is a badder guy? Anti-climax. I felt like that was very weakly handled on the part of the writers. Which brings me to the main problem with this episode. So we're supposed to believe that all this stuff with Jones, Little Hill, the parasite in the guy's chest, Olivia having to turn the bomb off with her mind, all that was about Jones's daddy delusions with William Bell? Does anyone else see the ultra lameness of this? And the writers obviously want us to believe it because the last thing Jones says is, Dr. Bell will see just how special I am. Gag!
As he stomps his foot and walks away.
Harris and Jones, in my opinion, were handled like characters the writers didn't really know what to do with anymore. They got killed off very quickly right after revealing major character-altering information that I guess is supposed to justify their deaths, but in actuality contributes nothing to the story. Lazy. Quickly.
Wow.
Nina said that Jones's condition was the result of his using the transportation device. You mean the same device you just used on Olivia? Really? Or is there something else going on there? So all in all, I've got to say I was expecting more, and maybe that's my fault. Last week should have been a clue. I give it 7.5 Nina bots. JC from Oklahoma City.
I had a hard time cutting that one down because she made a lot of really good points that we didn't talk about. So I agree with a lot of them. I felt that it was pretty anticlimactic. I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was a great episode. I mean, I gave it a 9.
Yeah.
But
I think she brought up some great points, and I don't necessarily agree with the harshness of those points, but I think they're well made.
I talked to my sister, who's just starting to get into this show, mostly because she wants to be a fan of me, of course. But she only watches it on and off. And we talked about it because she said, well, you know, it's hard to get into. I'm missing some stuff. And so I asked her about the last episode, and she said it was really good because she's not all nerdy and following all the stuff on the computer like we are. And so for her, it was really mind-blowing. And she didn't see a lot of the stuff coming. So I think for not the Uber fan, it was probably really good.
Excellent point. Okay, this one is really short, but she sent it in, and so I have to give her props for it. This is from Missy. We heard from Missy last week, I think it was.
Yes.
And she sent us in the exact count of Astrid's lines. And so, jokingly...
Not just her lines. It was the number of words.
That's right. The number of words, the number of scenes, blah, blah, blah.
And her lines, yes.
So, we jokingly asked for a spreadsheet.
For the whole season.
And she sent us one.
She did.
So...
That is awesome.
Yes.
I'm not going to read all these to you. That would be incredibly boring and horrible. But if we could find some way to put this up on the website...
I can post. It's graphs showing her everything by episode.
Oh, my gosh. Perfect.
Bar That's graph.
Awesome. Yeah. Is
my,
awesome.
My favorite is the line graph. I like the line graph a lot. So, Missy, you're freaking awesome. I love it. Good job. So we'll put that up for somebody somewhere to look at. And
you'll notice the colors in the graph are yellow and red and blue.
This is true. Okay. Patty, your turn for your email.
So we have one from Toma. I hope I'm saying that right. From Denmark. You're big in Denmark, too. Hey guys, I just finished watching the Fringe finale and I loved it. Happy face smile. Although it was kind of slow at the start, but all in all, it was a great episode. I would give it 9 otherworldly coins. I would have given it 10, but I'm really pissed off about Jones' death. I have to agree with that. I really liked his character. I mean, he got kind of gross looking at the end.
Yeah.
But I really liked him.
And that was why I backed it down off of 10.
Yeah.
Because I felt like we were getting rid of a really excellent character that we could have used in the future, and that was not very smart.
Which is why I was hoping you guys would have said yes earlier when I asked, do you think there'll be a Jones we'll see from the other dimension? And all you guys said no. And I was like, dang it. I was hoping we would. And I'm not saying that you control that. I'm just saying I want more to think
psychic.
That there is. You know?
I know all those things. And just so Toma knows, we did get the rest of your email, but we covered most of what you had already talked about. So we didn't read all of it. But shout out to Denmark. Woot.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
All right, I have an email here. It's either from Aaron or Erica, and I can never tell because they usually don't sign it. I just wanted to chime in a thought that I've been contemplating for a few days now. Peter Bishop is the mole. Duh. It isn't as if he's hiding it at all. He uses dubious means to get information. He owes a lot of money that he mysteriously can pay back now. He's got a love-hate relationship with Walter. He protects Olivia, who is, quote, special to the ZFT. He comes up with crucial information to move Olivia along. He is so clearly a possible mole that I feel that he gets looked over, and the razor theory that states that the simplest answer is obviously the best clearly points towards him. That's Occam's razor. Just my thoughts. On a side note, I do not Twitter nor plan to, but I know a couple of you are on Facebook. Can you ever give out that information during the show? I will answer for myself, no. I will never give out my Facebook information on the show. And I love you all.
I agree. There have been
If you happen to come across me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give it out.
Right. And there have been several that have found me, so it is possible to find me.
If you look, you will find me.
Okay. Well, that brings us to a voicemail.
Hi, this is Kimberly in Alaska, and I'm going to try to keep this very short. I've gone back through all of the episodes, and I noticed one thing, that Astrid Farnsworth, Jessica Nicole's character, is always wearing purple. In every episode, she's wearing some hue of purple. I've seen one episode or two episodes where initially they had her wearing some other color like black or gray, but then later in the episode she's wearing purple, and that's consistent. So I was just curious, does anybody have a theory about purple? I know it's one of the strongest colors in the visible light spectrum, and that it has a higher frequency than red, blue, green. But I was wondering why her character is always wearing purple. Must signify something. Okay, thank you guys. Bye.
I'm so glad our friend in Alaska called back and sent us another voicemail.
I am too. She sent in several, but they've all been too long to play.
Right. And that's exciting. I mean, that she called back.
Right.
And she makes an interesting point. Astrid does wear purple a lot, but I couldn't tell you why.
Any ideas from you guys?
Matches her eyes.
It's a mixture of red and blue, two of the colors. She doesn't know what size she's on, so she's a mole.
She's a big Prince fan.
Okay.
This is from Ducky Is Lost. Best cliffhanger ever! I'm going to be going out of my mind all summer wondering if Rachel is going to lose custody of Ella. Seriously, though, is there a bizarro Walter out there with all his memories who has been trying to get his Peter back this whole time? Some interesting acting possibilities may have been opened up by the alternate reality traveling. Meeting the doppelgangers could be fun in small doses. Also opens up possibility of more John Scott drama, which I was tired of. Already sent Court my rating, but here it is again. 9 splitting headaches. Hopefully I will see you in chat Friday. Ducky Is Lost. So see, that was actually pretty decent.
Yeah, because it had the whole John Scott thing.
And boo hiss to John Scott. I don't want to see John Scott ever again.
But what about Alter John Scott? Maybe that's what she saw in the first episode.
If he has purpose, then bring him back. If he's dead and laying in a hyperbaric chamber, leave him there.
Didn't we read earlier, like several episodes ago, that he had gotten a new series for the fall?
Yeah, he's going to be a superhero.
Yeah, so I doubt we'll see him.
And I'm okay with that.
Hi guys, it's Asia from Vermont, here with my thoughts from the latest Fringe episode, There's More Than One of Everything. So, what does grave mean? Maybe it's Peter's grave, or maybe it's a clue to a death. Anyway, Nina mentions that 15 years ago, Jones thought he was special. For what reason? CBG says to Walter, there's more than one of everything, then says that he said too much already, like he was on a mission or something. And who is Peter's mom? And does it matter? Who has the key to the little box? Maybe it's William Bell, or maybe it just doesn't matter. I think Walter knew where the soft spot was because he used it to take Peter from the other universe. And so maybe that's why CBG thought it was okay to attack Peter in the woods so many episodes ago. Walter mentioned that even a child could work the hole plug to the other universe. What was with the almost car crash at the end? And where is Nina? And Walter called Peter son. But now, maybe Peter isn't even that. I hope you put this on the podcast. I am so excited. Bye then.
They said something about the car crash. And there was chat in the chat room during the live show about that being the point at which Olivia crossed over to the other dimension.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't.
I think it's a way for her to be able to. Like, that's the moment, because she could have died but didn't. So because of that, a reality changed, and that's what's making it happen. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
That's interesting.
That is an interesting theory. Some people said it happened in the elevator.
That's where I'm going.
That's when it happened. I'm saying that the steps leading to it made it happen.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain the car almost car crash. So that seemed
odd.
Out of place, but well, for that purpose, there must be a reason for it.
And I think there was a blue flash there. I can't remember. I think there was a blue flash. I was just wondering if the whole time that she's waiting in the restaurant was actually because Nina couldn't meet her because she was already in the other dimension.
I think it was all just a setup to get Nina, for Nina to get her where she needed to be, so that on the way down, on the way down, she could transport via the elevator.
Okay.
Cool.
So everybody's favorite episode or segment is up now. Are you ready?
Oi.
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 What was that? Oi.
Oi. Well, okay. I'll preface it by saying usually I have it all nice, but now it's all hacked up, so it's not going to be smooth and beautiful. Hi, this is Patty from Canada in America, and here are my random thoughts on there's more than one of everything, anything. I noticed there was a whole dark and light theme going on. There was a pirate flag on one of the videos, and the hallway to Belle's office was black and white. And there was that interesting scene in the... see, I can edit this out on on Audacity.
Daryl will edit it.
Yeah, he'll edit it, but the song will have to go. When Peter's talking to Walter, they were showing like half of his face on one side and the other guy's half of his face with the dark and the light. So I think that was supposed to represent sort of cinematically the two sides in the two universes. I noticed that William Bell's name was scratched off of Walter's lab door. I saw screensavers in Astrid's office and in the FBI, and it looked like a picture, if you've ever seen that look of, if you're looking at the back of someone's eye, it's that look of the veins and all the redness. I thought it was a brain for a while, but if you look, Astrid's computer always has that, and there always is a lot of eyes on this show. I thought Nina looked way better after she was shot than she has recently. She was wearing lipstick in bed. She had less hairspray, and she had fabulous pajamas. Broyles put his hand on Nina's arms very nice and friendly, and considering how they have so much antagonism, I thought that was really weird, other than the fact that I guess he cared for her if she was not well. There seems to be a lot of statements like, well, what can't we do, you know, when we're talking about massive dynamic, and it reminds me of Locke and Lost when he says, don't tell me what I can't do. And mostly what I was thinking in this last episode was, is there anything the prop department can't make red, green, yellow, or blue? I'm actually getting tired of looking for it. It's just everywhere. I think the point's been made, and unless there's some sort of connection, I really don't want to see those colors anymore. And Charlie's hat, when the big truck got cut in half, I was wondering if either did Charlie get transported from the past, or did he forget to take his hat off because he was just leaving his job of being a paperboy on the corner. Hear ye, hear ye. I noticed Jones went to the same soccer field where the werepire jumped out of the plane, so I'm wondering, did the werepire turn into a werepire because it was part of the pattern, meaning part of the trajectory? I notice that the word posit gets used a lot in this. I really don't like that word, but Nina seems to, I posit this and I posit that. I positively don't like that word. Why is no one looking after the beach house? I mean, these people have money. Why is Peter not checking that place else once in a while? It was in pretty bad shape. And I think they didn't show Peter's mom because they're not going to show her for a few years and they haven't cast her yet. And I noticed the bell on William Bell's desk, to be really obvious. I quickly looked at Walter's lab notes, but it was really late at night, but there was a lot of Bell references in it, just in case you didn't get that. I think that when Peter was talking about the flipping of the pancakes, it reminded Walter of flipping the coins, like flipping pancakes, and I'm wondering if the whale shape has any importance, maybe, maybe not. Maybe just about as much importance as that comment about Walter going and cleaning out fish tanks or something. And did Walter really write the goodbye note? So just because it was written doesn't mean he's actually gone. Maybe he was taken. And what candies was it leaning on? I couldn't figure out what those candies were. It might be some American candy. What's that?
I know what it is, but I'll wait your segment's over.
Alrighty. Who can stop? No, we haven't talked about this. That at the very end, they said that the Fringe Division is shutting down. Who has the power to do that? I would think only the president. Where was Olivia planning to go with her bag? She had her bags packed. Was she going to give up the job? She took her badge off. And I noticed that Olivia looked like a recruit because she was putting all those pictures on the wall just like everyone else did. So I thought maybe she was going to die or something. And that we already talked about. And lastly, this is actually from an earlier episode, but you know when they talked about the quarantine? I think that was Alter Olivia not being able to turn the lights off. in the other episode, and whatever that toxin was must have gotten out. And I think that's it for now. I'm Patty from Canada, now in America.
Good stuff.
I love that last little bit that she threw in about Alter Olivia not being able to stop the lights. That's my favorite part.
I liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, you brought up the point about who could shut it down. I think the president is the answer to that. I think we saw that in the pilot.
And in the comic?
That's what I meant, not the pilot. I meant the comic. You brought up the point about Olivia packing a bag, and I did notice that. I noticed her badge and her gun on the table, but I didn't really put it together that maybe she was leaving, quitting at that point. But maybe she was. Mm-hmm. Maybe she was. That's interesting.
The candy was Necco.
Oh, Necco wafers. Mm-hmm. We don't get those in Canada, but I've seen them on TV. I had a thought, and it's gone. It's gone in the wind and
is
the thunderstorm.
Is it poll time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, let's do this real quick. We're nearing the end of the podcast. So if you have not yet voted, if you're listening to this live and you have not yet voted for the contest, go right now and vote because the contest is almost over.
So I was going to do a quote of the week for...
There's more than one of everything.
Yeah, thank you. And then I decided that would be kind of pointless because the next podcast we're going to do is probably going to be about the comic book. That doesn't really fit. So instead, I decided that we would do a quote of the season. And all of the quotes that we have had, all the winning quotes that we have had from the beginning of our podcast when we started doing the quote of the week, all of the winners are going to go into a poll, and then you're going to have the choice to vote on which one you think was the best quote of the season. And then when we come back from our little mini 2-week hiatus before the comic, we will play that winning quote, and that will be the quote of the season. So that's going to be our new poll. I'm going to put that up tomorrow when I have a little bit of more time.
Okay.
So that's the new poll.
All right. The poll is closed. So who is our contest winner, Courtney?
Our contest winner is Charlie's Story. So this was submitted by Charlie, who is a regular in our chat room.
Yeah, he's here now, right now.
And so he wins. He gets his choice of the three prizes, which I don't remember what they are. And
they are
then,
the Fringe Season 1 on DVD, do a live podcast with us, or the Jason food package.
So he will make his choice, and then whatever's left over for the other two, they will get the spoils.
Right.
So, Charlie, you are our official grand prize winner.
Congratulations.
You can email your choice to feedback@thefringepodcast.com. Or you could call us on the Fringe phone if you wanted. 206-426-5898. But whichever is easiest. So email us, call us, Skype us, Twitter us,
or he
whatever.
Just told you in the chat room.
Yeah, he did. Season 1 DVDs.
Okay.
And I want to say I was really impressed with all of our finalists and some of those who didn't make the final. All of those who sent in entries.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was great. It was very entertaining. A lot of thought
you all
went
are
into
very
it.
Talented. You're
and,
awesome,
Ingrid. I would like if I can get a copy of the Walter picture from you. I absolutely loved that. I voted for that one. It was my favorite. And if I could buy a thing from you, I would be interested in doing that.
Yeah, I would actually like that as well. So if you could just send us the information on feedback, that would be great.
Yep.
But to find her, just Google Ingrid Hardy, and you will find her website. She's got a lot of good work, a lot of stuff that we are interested in.
Yep.
Star Wars. I saw some Harry Potter picks. Fringe.
Indiana Jones.
Lost. Indiana Jones.
Heroes.
Yeah. So go check out her website. Give her some love. She's very talented. Got a lot there. Josh Fulton was the songwriter winner. Mad props to him as well.
Incredible song.
Yeah.
Really
impressive.
Cool.
Yeah, he did a good job. I don't know that he has a website. So good job, guys. Appreciate it. I don't know how we decided we were going to do second and third place.
Well, Josh got second place, so he'll pick his prize.
Okay.
And then Ingrid will get the remaining prize.
Okay. There you go. That's how that works.
I want to say, we'll have a podcast in about 2 weeks when the comic comes out. But I just want to say thanks to all of you who are here, tonight was a horrendous night. And again, I want to apologize for being so late tonight. But anyway, those of you who are here tonight, those who listen to us each week, when we started this podcast back last August, we never thought that we would meet people like Patty, who would fly on her own down here to be a part of a podcast with us. And you guys are joining us either in the chat room or live each week, or just listen to us each week, send us feedback. It's pretty cool. And some of you think we're like celebrities, and we're nothing like that. It's the couple.
They're really not celebrities.
We're not. There's been a few of you that have been like, wow, you're like a celebrity. And I'm like, no, we're normal people who happen to enjoy this TV show just like you guys
are.
We're
just big in Canada.
And we appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Can't wait till next year. So we'll have stuff throughout the summer too. So keep an eye out for us on our website and through iTunes and stuff.
And really, we'd like to keep up with you. So hop on Twitter, tweet us. You know, send us occasional random emails to feedback@thefringepodcast.com.
Yeah.
Send us comments, you know, all that fun stuff. It's kind of like we're saying bye to friends. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah. But we're not. We're still around. We're still here.
We'll definitely be back for next season.
Yes.
We're not bailing on you.
Right.
I hope. And there are some things that may or may not happen this summer, so.
Oh, you mean the reading thing.
We'll just toss it out. We're thinking about doing a book club with all the books that have been shown, kind of like they did for Lost.
Yeah,
we're interested about it. We haven't really talked about it much. If anybody wants to head that up, besides one of us, please send us an email.
And let's do this. If you're interested in participating in a Fringe book club, email us at feedback@thefringepodcast.com. And that way, I think it will probably get launched in some way or another. But that way, when it gets going, we'll have your information to know that you're interested, and we can communicate with you what's going on with that.
Right.
So they're asking, is anyone going to report from Comic-Con, and is there going to be a roundtable?
No plans on either of those at this point. That could change.
And I highly recommend, because we get tired of all of their voices and my voice too, that you all need to come up with something original for yourselves. Like, someone could be on the Color Report, and someone else could be on the... We have somebody now doing the Astrid Report, you know? So everybody come up with something and...
Food? Walter's Food of the Week?
Walter's Food of the Week. I like that.
Yeah, submit them to us. And again, I've said this before, we're not a podcast without you. And if you want a good example of what we're talking about with your own segment, listen to The Instance. Go download an episode of The Instance. It is a World of Warcraft podcast. Blah. Okay, Clint, you gave me your disease.
It's late.
Ouch.
It is a World of Warcraft podcast, so it's not something you're going to be interested in more than likely, but they do an awesome job of taking listener-submitted ideas and produced segments. They're goofy, they're fun, some of them are serious, but that is a great example of fan participation. And submit us your idea. We're not going to accept everything. We'll accept some. If it's good, you'll get on. If it's crap, probably not. Just shooting straight with you. So send us good stuff, and you might get included and get to be a part of the podcast. So we have creative people. We've seen it. You've proved it. So now I know, you guys out there, you're creative. So you have no excuse.
All right. Again, thanks a lot. So until next time.
May the Fringe be with you.
Patty loves America.
Stay on the Fringe.
Good night.
Go noodling. I had to throw the noodling in there for the finale.
That's right.